Sorry, just calm down.
I'm not fighting you.
This is a padded cuff. It won't hurt you.
You are hurting me.
All right, come on.
You certainly are careful not to bruise me. What kind of charade are you pulling? Is this what you did to the others who died here?
You two, clean out the cell. I want it to look like a storeroom again in 15 minutes.
Dr. LeFranc, there was no need to tie her up. What do you think she is, a common criminal?
It's my experience that the condemned don't go quite willingly no matter what their social status, Dr. LeFranc. Are you sure you want to see this?
She is a colleague, and I still protest the verdict that was reached. I shall at least accompany her.
And abide by the decision.
Yes, of course I have documented my objections. If you have some influence here. I have exercised my influence on your behalf, but you have overstepped the mark. There is no doubt you would continue to thwart the work here. You must be terminated. That is the conclusion of our tribunal, though I was the lone vote against execution. What tribunal?
The tribunal that oversees such matters.
You have no authority to create a legal tribunal. We have a mandate. An international government like the United Nations that fails to govern effectively must be made to govern effectively. We operate by our blueprint of advancing the power of international law. How? By harboring a group of scientists and fascist police who develop illegal weapons that they don't even understand.
Let's go.
How am I to be executed?
I'll bring up the detention lorry. Those fools parked at a distance from here. Watch her, Dr. LeFranc.
You will not put her in the back of that detention lorry. She is not to be hauled about like cargo. She shall stay up front.
Dr. LeFranc, security protocol dictates...
Look, she is smaller than I am, and she is restrained. She has no coat. Don't be ridiculous. She shall sit between us and at least have a warm ride.
All right, then, as you say, I'll get the lorry. She can sit up front.
Dr. LeFranc, I implore you to reconsider this action. I have reconsidered it. They have gone too far when they condemn a brilliant scientist to death. You must trust me and convince me now without a word. Professor Shaw, are you coming? The other two guards are in the back, and he is far enough away for us to get to my car if we move quickly. Yes, I'm coming. It's so cold! The car is heated. Quickly. It is here, in the lee of the guardhouse. Where's the guard? On the other side of the structure, going the other way. The detention lorry will not start. I loosened its ignition wire. Quick, get inside. The heat will warm up in a moment. We will drive without headlamps on. The security men will have a much harder time finding us when he alerts them. Straight across the landscape, where are we going? There is no moon, but the sky is clear. You must make every use of visibility. You will soon be on your own, but you are intelligent enough to escape if you are pursued. Dr. LeFranc, where are we going? As far as I can take you. The village? No, the guards have radios. We would be intercepted if I tried to get through the gates. I am taking you to the fence. I have already cut the wires and killed the power. You shall escape that way. In this cold... It shall be a 45-minute walk for you. You will easily survive, and the guards will not know where to look for you. I will drive back to my lab. By the time they apprehend me, you will be well away. What about you? Aren't you in danger? Unit will prevent any further actions from the TSRG tribunal. Listen, I appreciate what you're doing for me, but that tribunal... Did that tribunal condemn those other people to death? The first people who were killed? I have no way of knowing what the tribunal does. I think you had better concentrate on what the tribunal has decreed concerning you, Professor Shaw. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, what about these restraints? Can you get them off? Certainly, we are almost there. Are you warm enough? Yes, it feels quite good. It's making me sleepy. You'd better switch it off. You will be out in the cold soon enough. You may as well enjoy the warmth. Once you are on your way, sprint very fast for as long as you can last. You are not far from freedom and safety. It's not wise to focus on that. I have to be cautious. These people are clever and ruthless. Oh, we are sliding. We have run into a muddy patch. I will not try to get us out. It will make too much noise to spin the tires. We are almost to the fence. I will get you free and show you the way on foot. Yes, all right. I cannot see to unhook the padded cuffs. Here is the light. Dr. LeFranc, if anybody is out there, the interior light will act as a beacon. Oh, no, it is too small. Finished. There, light off, no harm done. There is nobody out there. Quickly, we may not have much time. Up this rise. Do you see that dim light on top of that pole down there? Yes. It looks too dim to be a searchlight. No, it is just a warning to vehicles out here in the grassy landscape that there is a barbed wire fence right there. It is just a beacon light, but that is the perimeter fence. What's down there? The outside world is down there, Professor Shaw. You'd better hurry. You're already shivering. You ought to run. That fence is electrified. I cut the power for this section. I cut the wire. Come closer and I will show you quickly. I don't think this is very wise. An escape through the fence is what they would expect. The other people who died, they all died at the fence. You do not know what you are saying. This is your only chance. I will show you. The fence is a dangerous place. Oh, it's so cold. This wind strips all my concentration away. There, you can see the fence better. Do you see now where I cut the wire? Just run through there. Now I understand. Now I see it all. Run, Miss Shaw. This may be your last chance to escape. I'm not inside TSRG at all. I'm outside the fence already. What are you talking about? The village is a mile that way beyond the fence. No, this is my execution. There's no tribunal. All of this has been just a ruse to get me out here. You're being paranoid. Why would I trick you to come out here when I could have forced you at gunpoint if that was what I wanted? I am trying to help you. Your only alternative is to go back to the guards and face execution. Is that what you want? Hurry, or they will catch us both.
You want me to do what all the others did, to run towards that fence, so that when you kill me, it will look like I was trying to get back into the fence, not out of it.
Look behind us. They have found us. They're coming.
Stop lying to me.
Headlights! They have found us. They see us. Run. Run towards the fence. I will try to stall them.
Those vehicles were all around here waiting for us. They're coming in at your signal.
Why are you standing there? Do you want to be captured again? It will not be pleasant for you.
No, I'll run for it, but not where you want me to run.
This is LeFranc. She is getting away. Pursue her on foot. On foot? Don't shoot her. Don't run her down. Get her on foot.
Buildup. There's an energy field building up.
Good. We've got her now. She's confused by all the headlights pointed at her. You circle this way. Come towards her. We'll force her towards the fence.
Hawthorne! No. If you want me, then chase me.
She's running towards the fence. Now force her back towards the beacon light.
LeFranc to weapon. Ready. Get ready.
Here, I'll get her. I want to watch her die.
No, this is the end. I can face you. In fact, I'll come to meet you.
Oh, love, you're a bit crazy. This is Hawthorne. She's gone to Earth. She's down in the grass somewhere. I can't see her.
Here I am.
Stay standing if you want me to find you. There you are. You made a game of it, Professor. May as well get up.
Yes. I'll get up. LeFranc de Weapon, do you read me? Do you read me?
There's no power. We can't see her. The headlights are dead, too.
Oh, it's useless. You men, get her. Kill her! She must not get away! Find her! At least she's dropped that awful fake accent. Why is the power still building? Why don't they shut it down if they have to find me first? I'd better run. Oh!
Get back! Get back! We're in a range! We're in a range! Get back! She's not powering down.
If the weapon doesn't kill me, the TSRG people will. Here goes. Time for some reverse psychology. LeFranc to weapon. Discharge your capacitor. Discharge. shots firing at me. I'm the only person in its range. If I run away, I'm cooked. I've got to hope that the impedance of the Earth will interfere with its ability to find me. I've got to crawl closer, where they won't find me.
I said discharge!
There's the fence.
We've got power again. Shine the lights around. Do you see her?
I'm stuck. The fence. It's got barbs on it. Oh, come on. A unit soldier would be out of this in 2 seconds. Good. There's a hollow in the ground.
Do you see her? No, she won't be up that way. Those energy shots probably terrified her. She'll be down here. She may be working her way back the way she came, trying to get back to the car.
Find her, you idiots! If she reaches anybody, we'll all be arrested! Kill her! Do what it takes!
You lads! You, go along the fence back that way! And you! You three! Take your jeep back towards the car in the guardhouse! We'll circle to the village and move in from there to intercept her. Move in sweeps to find her.
Oh, it's so cold. I can't get warm. Why doesn't LaFranc leave? What is she waiting for? There's a lorry on the side of the fence.
Lost sight of her while I was tending to the weapon. Did she get away?
She's out there in the grass somewhere. They will find her. She won't get far in this severe cold. It may finish her for us. Has it discharged fully?
Yes. I don't know why I kept shooting after you told it to discharge. There are still problems in the interface.
Maybe she just wants to have her way. She seems pitiful now, but she always wants her own way, that one. Well, she can't have it. She must learn that when I say to discharge, she shall discharge the power and not fire.
Careful on that fence, Dr. LaFranc.
No, it is easy. I wasn't lying about cutting it. I did cut it. But Professor Shaw figured it out. Say, I am through. Now, what do you have to say? Can you hear me? Why did you not discharge power?
Come on, let's get it loaded and back. You take that side. I'll get this side. We have to push her along.
This is a great experiment, and you will not be allowed to ruin it. Small claims must give way to great, so stop whining. You wanted this, and now you have it. If you make another sound, I shall punish you.
I'll get the lift activated. It's a bit creaky. This dry wind blows dirt into the workings and slows it down. I'll have to oil it up.
Have you got your side? Let's get her loaded.
That's done.
I must return to the car. I left her restraints in there. We must retrieve them so there is no clue she was brought this way.
All right, I'll go with you. Maybe we'll find her on the way.
If we do, I will leave it to you to make a quick job of it.
I'll break her neck. It'll be quick, all right. Alright, that's the main building outlined on the site design drawing. So, what's that symbol mean?
That's water piping. The smaller line shows water for injection.
Water for injection?
Purified water used in research projects.
These large blocks out here must be buildings. Probably utilities buildings.
Possibly. These drawings aren't labeled properly. More TSRG secrecy.
Gentlemen, it's nearly midnight. I've brought you our site maps and schematics and done everything you've asked. May I now return to my own quarters for a few hours' sleep?
Not just yet, Major Big Bird. Something funny, Corporal Jordan.
No, sir!
Doctor, what are the two sentries laughing at?
Brigadier, I'm sure that Redbird's pomposity is funny to them. Let them go. It makes him uncomfortable. Look at him. He's seething now.
Well, all right then.
You're going to have to come with us to this emergency power supply station, Major.
I don't see why I'm necessary. You have the drawings. I'm no engineer.
Your presence is absolutely required. Would you like to ring the kitchen for more tea?
No, I don't want tea.
This building on the map is probably where we want to go. I can get us there, even at this time of night.
Brigadier, we've got 18 unit soldiers against 50 to 100 GSRG security. Do you think we can pull this off?
As you noted, Doctor, those 50 to 100 security men are under the command of a big, fat head. I know my man. He'll protect himself. He wants no trouble and no risk. We're safe if we keep him with us. Think he knows where Miss Shaw is?
I honestly cannot say for sure. I don't think he does. He's remarkably good at keeping himself deliberately ignorant.
Yes, to avoid being held responsible. That ends now. I'll drag him over this site again and again all night if I have to. Well, Major Big Bird, we're ready to be on our way.
Liz crawled towards the lorry without hesitation. Though the bitter cold presented a great danger to her, she had no confidence in her ability to find the village before the TSRG people found her. She could not risk trying to escape in any manner that they would expect, such as a blind run across the barren landscape. She reached the lorry and crawled under it, then spent the next several minutes stuffing handfuls of the dried grass down into her clothing. In spite of the desperate situation, she could just imagine the doctor's reaction to such a tale of surviving and what she would say.
Yes, I stuffed grass down my knickers and into my bra, Doctor.
What? Haven't you ever heard of that? Oh, of course not. You Time Lords don't wear knickers and bras, do you?
But the thermal underclothing held the grass pretty well, and the grass was a natural insulator, a rough coat in this zero-degree weather. She had plenty of time to do this. At last, when she had curled up under the lorry and was letting one of the rear tires block the steady breeze, she heard them returning. Now they were hurrying. They did not check the rear of the vehicle, but climbed into the cab. Liz scurried out from under the rear fender, and just as he started the engine, she took hold of the maintenance ladder that was bolted onto the back. She swung herself up and hung on. The rung was bitterly cold, unclad steel, but she held on as they lumbered across the uneven ground and then sped towards the hiding place of whatever was now hidden in the bed of the lorry. In the bitter cold, the Brigadier, Major Redbird, the Doctor, and the two unit men in the front seat of the car were all silent as they drove over the wind-scoured grounds. The unit car had not had time to warm up properly, and only the Doctor seemed not to notice or be bothered by the low temperature at this late hour. Behind them, the escort vehicle followed closely. It held four more unit men, all armed. But there was no sign of TSRG security, apart from the few who manned the gatehouses at the fences. The two vehicles were let through to the second perimeter area, and with some navigation from the Doctor, they sighted the distant building that was marked as the emergency backup power station. Even from a great distance, the Doctor frowned as he saw that something was amiss at the utility building.
There's supposed to be an 8,000-gallon diesel fuel tank attached to it. That's what the drawing said.
The Brigadier squinted ahead in the glare of the headlights.
Perhaps it's buried. Wouldn't that be a safer way to store diesel fuel?
Yes, and a completely impossible way to ever do repair work on it or maintain it. The emergency power station is kept at a distance to protect the buildings from any hazards it might represent, or any static electricity sparks they might cause that could ignite the diesel fuel. The fuel tank is normally not buried. Stop here, driver, and keep the lights on us.
He and the Brigadier got out, as well as two of the soldiers from the escort. The building was the size of the Doctor's lab at unit, all concrete. The door was unlocked. The Doctor pulled it open, and one of the men shone a torch into the interior. "It's nothing but a storeroom," the doctor exclaimed as he looked at a few rows of shelves stocked with tools and materials for the grounds.
"The drawings have been falsified."
"Come around back." They passed through the glare of the headlights and checked the rear of the building. The doctor pointed to a long bare patch of earth and a low concrete foundation that made an oval ring.
"That 8,000-gallon tank was here once upon a time, Brigadier. That ring is the foundation of a dike used for protection against spills."
He looked both exasperated and puzzled.
"It's been moved. The entire backup power station has been moved right out of here."
Just then, the headlights and torchlights winked out. The radios went dead. The engines died.
"There's that inductive spike."
"From what Professor Jensen said..."
"Yes, if somebody's gone and made that actual weapon, they may very well be firing it right now."
The doctor's voice was grim. After a moment, in the cold darkness, he said,
"I wish I knew where Liz could be."
"I wish you were right here with us. If wishing could accomplish anything, let's ask for everything."
"Then I wish that infernal weapon were in hell where it belongs."
"I thought you didn't believe in hell."
"Not now, Brigadier."
His voice was cross. By the time the lorry came to a halt before a long, low building, Liz was not sure she could unclasp her hands, not without falling. She was cold and stiff, but the sound of Lefranc and her companion sent a faint warmth through her. She had to get off the ladder just to see what they had produced. Stiffly, uncertain that she could get out of sight in time, she climbed down, using her arms to help her hold on to the few rungs of the ladder. Lefranc and her companion went around the front of the lorry to unlock the double doors of the building, and Liz used the noise of them opening the doors to cover for her as she dropped on shaky legs to the ground. The intense cold was making even the simplest movements difficult. She crawled under the lorry and pushed herself well forward, mindful of the effort it had taken for them to load their mysterious cargo into the back. The thick grass was not enough of a ground cover to entirely stop the coldness of the earth from draining her own warmth, but the added padding she'd given herself reduced the ground's effects, and the underside of the van was warm and radiated down on her. After a moment, the incapacitating stiffness left her, but she knew that she had to get out of the cold. She would not survive the night unless she could build some sort of nest or find shelter and cover. When she next came back to herself, they were already moving their cargo across the gravel walkway towards the doors. Liz realized that she had dimly heard the noises of them unloading the lorry, but her mind had been oddly disengaged. She was weary and the cold was reaching her, getting through her defenses. She looked over at the building, a hulking shadow in back defined itself to her as some sort of fuel tank. In front, the doors were invitingly open. Moving with clumsiness, Liz crawled out from the lorry and unsteadily stood. Her head cleared after a moment. Then, staying low, she came to the edge of the open door. The two of them were inside, their backs to the door, with the lights off, but the dim glow of numerous LEDs and board lights on a control panel cast a glow onto them. They appeared to be working at some sort of booth, and again, for only an instant, Liz thought she heard another voice. A high, faint voice. Liz looked around the interior. There were numerous pipes along a far wall, and she caught a glimpse of the edge of a fluid tank. This was an emergency utility station, she realized. It could run a shift's worth of electricity to the main buildings, and could also send out enough clean steam or purified water to safely shut down processes in the event of a power failure. But why was it all the way out here? Liz tried to calculate the distance from here to the main buildings, and she supposed they must be at least 3/4 of a mile away. There was no efficient way to run steam piping that distance, not from a small setup like this. There was no time to think about such things. She had to make an attempt to get inside and hide, and she was certain she could do so behind the pure water tank. Lefranc and her colleague were busy at the panel with their backs to her. She slipped inside into the comparative warmth of the room. Moving carefully on her clumsy feet, she maneuvered herself behind the PW tank and lowered herself to the concrete floor. The tank was dormant, its pump motor dead. There was no water running out from here. It was not even bolted to the floor. Somebody had set up this room, but they had not intended to really connect anything, not way out here. Yet there was power. Whatever this place was being used to accomplish, it was live with electricity. She heard a rhythmic noise of regularly running automation equipment. The floor was cold, but not as cold as the ground had been, and the room itself was much warmer than the night outside. Liz had to lie still for fear that any rustling noise would betray her. But in the dimness, as the two of them worked, the harsh coldness left her. Her eyes became heavy. She knew she was falling asleep, but she also knew that there was nothing she could do by staying awake. If they caught her, they caught her. She opened her eyes as the double door slammed closed. For a moment, the loud bang made her heart pound with fear, but then she heard the lorry start up. They were leaving. She was safe. She sat up. The machinery made quiet, regular sounds, throbbing, a soft chiming at intervals, and the occasional sound of fairly viscous fluid pushing through narrow tubing. Her glance went to the doors. But though they locked with a key from the outside, the inside had a safety handle so that a person could not be trapped in the building. She could exit if she wanted to, but she was certain that nobody would be back that night. First, Liz pulled off her clothing and removed all the dried grass. She shook everything out and made a pile of the matted fibers on the floor. It wasn't enough to sleep on, and it had done only a marginal job as lining. She donned her garments again and felt better. She decided to inspect the machinery they'd been working on, and then she would find any other padding that she could bed down on behind the PW tank, where the darkness would keep her hidden. She stepped out cautiously from behind the tank. Now that she got a good look at it, she saw that the control panel fronted onto a safety glass wall. Behind the glass wall, she saw a machine nearly as tall as she, and it was a size and shape that she recognized. It was the machine that had so frightened the doctor on the night of the first blackout. Condensation had clouded the glass, so she could not define what she was seeing at first. As Liz drew closer, she recognized several things at once: a microphone embedded in the control panel, and a patch of human skin on the machine behind the glass, and a human eye. It took a moment for her to identify what she was seeing: a human face mounted by a metal cap like a dome, with leads that ran directly into the person's left eye socket and also into the base of the skull. And below the face, the neck was still there, ringed in a brace to help it support the dome-like cap, and below the braced neck, the body was encased in metal like a chassis. Out of the chassis, a rod-like appendage protruded. Otherwise, there were no arms or hands, though Liz saw a connector on the other side that might have fitted to something. "Dr. Shapansky, can you hear me?" The remaining good eye was open, but only at her voice did it show awareness. It slowly focused on her. "Can you hear me?"
"The target. Destroy the target. Couldn't discharge. Couldn't make it connect to discharge. Fire the target. If discharged, no destroy. If no discharge, power delivered. Fire the..."
The strong Brooklyn accent was still there, and somehow this heightened the ghastliness of what had been done to Dr. Shapansky. "Dr. Shapansky!" The remaining eye seemed to recognize her.
"I have a target. Locked in. Locked in."
The rod-like appendage suddenly pointed at Liz. Liz backed up. "No, Dr. Shapansky, think of what you're doing. I'll try to help you." But the gun easily followed her when she was this close.
"Please. Please. Help me. I wanted to be first in the papers. Help me. Target locked in. Target locked in. Preparing fire."
Liz dropped to the floor using what had worked previously, but she had not been so incredibly close before. She had one glimpse of the gun stock settling on her perfectly, and then she covered her head with her arms.
"Fire now. Fire.